This morning, before I get started, I wanted to welcome my folks here today and also my sister, Sharon Novak from Ohio. And Sharon, just to give you a little bit of background to who she is, when I was a little boy, she took care of me all the time. Mom and Dad both worked some, and so Sharon took care of me. And then she went and got married, and I understand, I don't remember it a whole lot, but I understand that after she got to the farm with her new husband, we went to visit. And when it came time to go, I was, I think, 5 years old or something, maybe four, and came time to go, I said, "Come on, Sherry, let's go home." And Mom says, "No, she has to stay here. This is her home now." And as I recall, I'm not sure, but I think I curled up in a ball in the back seat and cried all the way home because Sherry wouldn't come with us. So anyway, it's good to have my sister in church today. And I also was asked to give a little update on my wife. We went to St. Louis because Doris felt pretty good, and she'd been having a desire to go and visit our grandchildren, and we were excited about that. And so we went down to St. Louis where our daughter lives and her husband and our two of our grandchildren. And we no more than got there that Doris got sick, quite ill. And we took her to an emergency room. And at the emergency room, they got the temperature to go down a little bit, but not enough. And so they said, "We really want to admit her and find out what is happening. When you have chemo, your white count goes down, which fights infection." And so they were convinced she had an infection, and they began to give her antibiotics and admitted her to the hospital. After she'd been there probably, 4 or 5 days and been on antibiotics, she was still fighting and struggling, very sick. And they took her off one of her chemotherapy medicines, her pill that she was taking daily called Tarceva. And she began to bounce back and recover. Her body was out of whack. There was some things that were going on, and it just was out of whack, and she felt miserable. And she got to feeling better really right away, and after the seventh day, they let her out. And I knew that I was intended to speak here, and so we didn't feel she was able to make the trip home. And so I got in the car and drove back to South Dakota by myself. And she right now, in fact, let's dismiss the service. She gets home right now. The plane should have just landed in Sioux Falls. She's on her way, actually, now from St. Louis to Sioux Falls, where her sister will meet her and bring her up to Arlington. And so continue to pray for her, but she did. It seems like she has bounced back from this latest bout, and Reggie knows what I'm talking about. It just seems to be one battle after another that you go through, and so we covet your prayers for her, and we certainly feel them when we are in these situations, and so thank you very much. Today, in your bulletin, you will notice that the title of the sermon is "The Name of Jesus is Better." Now, if you're like me, your first question is, better than what? Well, let me just say this. I think that it goes without saying that the name of Jesus is better than anything. The book of Hebrews has often been called the book of better things. And I'm going to just give you a little clue on why in just a moment. But before I do, let me just preface my message by saying that most people say that the book of Hebrews was written by an anonymous author, which we don't have written proof that this is from so-and-so. Different names have been associated: Paul, Barnabas, Luke, Apollos. And I personally think it was written by Paul. And the letter was, according to one scholar that I studied, was apparently written primarily to Hebrew Christians. And these converts, and they were converts to Christianity, were in constant danger of relapsing into Judaism, or at least attaching too much importance to the ceremonial observations. And the chief purpose of the writer of the book of Hebrews was to show the transcendent glory of the Christian age compared to the Old Testament. Now I want to take it a step further than that, because I believe that there is a little more specificity that can be attributed at this point as to who the book of Hebrews is intended to be written, as was intended for. If you were to look, and you don't have to turn there, but if you were to look at Acts chapter 6, you will find a time of persecution. The seven deacons were chosen and listed there, and it was a time of great persecution. Immediately following the verse I'm going to read to you is the text where Stephen was seized and stoned for preaching the word. And this is what the Bible says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number, please listen to this, a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And if you look at the book of Hebrews and its references continually to the temple, to the priesthood, to the offering of sacrifices, you can, in your mind, fix that it was very likely that, as one scholar said, it was written to Hebrews. But I would take that a step further, and I would suggest to you that very possibly these very priests in Acts chapter 6, who had been scattered abroad during the persecution, were probably having second thoughts. And they were probably looking back at the temple and the glory of the temple and all that went with the glory of the temple and wondering, where is Christ? He hasn't returned yet. And I believe the purpose of the book of Hebrews is to encourage these priests that Jesus is the better way and that he is the only way to salvation and not to turn their back on him. And so Hebrews, as I said, has been called the book of better things. And I'm just going to run down a list here. In Hebrews 1:4, they desire a better country. Hebrews 6:9, it says, we are persuaded of better things of you. In chapter 7, there's three. The less is blessed instead of the better. Or the less is blessed of the better. Verse 19, bringing in a better hope. Verse 22, Jesus made a surety of a better testament. In Hebrews 8, there's two references in verse 6. The mediator of a better covenant, referring to Christ, established on better promises. Chapter 9, with better sacrifices. Chapter 10, you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. In chapter 11, there are three references. They desire a better country, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and God having some better thing for us. In chapter 12, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And so Hebrews is actually the book of better things. And as we read today, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. And stand with me. We'll read this passage and continue on with our message. Chapter 1 in verse 4. Of the name of Jesus is better. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. As the name he inherited is superior to theirs. Verse 5 says, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've become your father, or again I will be a father, and he will be my son. The Lord will bless his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to minister the word of God. We pray, Lord, that it would be beneficial to those who are here and are listening today. And Lord, that you would bless your word. And may it be the word of God that is seen today and not the speaker that speaks it, Lord. But let your message come forth through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Hebrews chapter 1, and I read it twice to you, in verse 4, it says, "So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." In the Old Testament, the eternal triune God, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we know, was present at creation. And we know that the eternal triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is eternal, goes back before the eons of time, and that at creation, according to John chapter 1, that the Spirit of the Lord was there, was present, and that Jesus was the creating power that created all things. And so Jesus was there, he was present, and we read of various, what we call theophanies in the Old Testament. They are Old Testament appearances of Christ. For example, when the three angels appeared to Lot to warn him of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, there were three angels. It is very probable that one of those angels, if you want to go back and read the text later today, was the second person of the Trinity. But it wasn't until Jesus came to this earth as a baby, we call it the incarnation, we read about it today, it wasn't until then that he inherited the name that is superior to theirs, the name of Jesus. "For he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And so my message is the name of Jesus is better. We're going to today come at this from five different ways, but it's all going to be surrounding the superiority of the person and the name of Jesus Christ. And it won't take a long time, so don't worry about that. But there are five ways that are outlined right in these first four verses about the superiority of the name of Jesus. So I'm going to give you these evidence. First of all, Jesus has been given a better name because he is the heir of all things. And by heir, I mean H-E-I-R, I believe that's spelled correctly, of all things. Hebrews 1:2, "He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom he made the world." The creation of virtually everything centers around the person of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, we read these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning. Through him were all things made, and without him was nothing made that was made." All things were brought into being by Christ, by the triune God. In Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, referring to Christ again, it says, "For in him were all things created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him, through him, and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together." It doesn't matter what you say, whether it's rulers, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, Jesus is better. He's over all of them. Well, the second evidence today that Jesus has been given a better name, in our text it says it is revealed in the radiance of God's glory. The Son, verse 3, is the radiance of God's glory. Now, as the sun's rays, the sun beams down on us, especially during the summertime, and gives us the glory of the sun, so Christ reveals the glory of God. Jesus is at once identified with the Father. He said in the Word of God, "I and the Father are one." And so the name of Jesus, he's been given a better name. He is the reflection or the radiance of God's glory. Well, talking about the name of Jesus is better, a third evidence that the name of Jesus is better in our text today. Verse 3 again, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory," but it goes on And it says, and the exact representation of his being. The exact representation of his being. Jesus makes himself known through the inseparable unity of the relationship between Father and Son. John 14, verse 9, we read, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long of a time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen the Father hath seen me. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus said, believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe for the very work's sake. The glory is shared between the Father and the Son. As Pastor Brian so often says, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In John 14, we read, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. I'm going to stop there for just a second. I want that to sink in. If a man loved me, he will keep my words. It does matter how you live. If a man loved me, he will keep my words. And it goes on, it says, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So Jesus' name is better, it's superior. He's the heir of all things, the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God's glory. For he sustains all things by his powerful word. Verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. God revealed himself. The Almighty God, Father, revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. As God's prophet, Jesus became the voice of God to each one of us. And the Son speaks to us. He becomes the Word of God to us as we look at the Word that God has given us. He is the message as well as the messenger. He works by himself. He needs no assistance from the outside. It is his virtue and his effect that touches the heart of man today. Hebrews 1:3 says, when he himself had purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. He works not through an agent, but Jesus works through his own person. Any good that I have ever done in my years of ministry, any positive outcomes that we've seen, has not been because of Tim Newman. It's been because of Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. It's not Pastor Newman. It's not Pastor Brian. It's not any other pastor, evangelist, minister. The glory goes to Jesus. And my friends, if the glory is not going to Jesus, I suggest that you listen closely and maybe tune into another station. Not through an agent, but his own person. Hebrews 1:2 says, he hath in these last days spoken unto us, hallelujah, by his Son. I'm not looking to a prophet today. I'm not looking to a seer of some kind or some dynamic minister. I'm looking to Jesus. The Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the prize that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of majesty on high. The fifth evidence that Jesus has been given a better name is that he sat down. Hallelujah. He sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. Since I told you, I'm going to come at it five ways today. Here it is, the fifth one. Verse 3 says, after he provided purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. In the Bible, whenever one would sit down, theologically, it meant the work was complete. When Jesus went back to the Father after dying on the cross and raising it again, he sat down at the right hand of majesty. Jesus is superior. There is evidence of a purification that's represented here. From the cross to the crown, from earth's footstool to heaven's throne, and then he sat down. It was done. It was finished. The Lord said to my Lord, Psalms 110, verse 1, sit at my right hand. Let me say that again. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. There is a theologian that writes this. His name is Dr. R.G.V. Tasker. The Son came to earth in humiliation, but by such condescension revealed his Father to humanity. He died on the cross, but in so doing, he opened the gateway of life to sinners. He ascended to heaven, and there he reigns not only as the King of the Jews, nor as man's king, but as the sovereign of the universe. Jesus' name is better. I don't know how it came to me this week, but an old, old song. I don't think we sing it anymore. And you'd be disappointed if I didn't quote the words of a hymn to you today, wouldn't you? An old, old song, and it just came to mind, and I looked it up on the computer, and I share these words with you. Truth and beauty and happiness, it's all in the name of Jesus. Heaven, health and heaven, peace and rest, it's all in the name of Jesus. Joy and gladness, forgiveness too, there is life everlasting and free. All that I long for and all that I need, it's all in the name of Jesus. There's a welcome, a pardon, a hiding place. They're all in the name of Jesus. Harvest and sunshine, friendship too. Fulfillment and blessing untold. Hope for tomorrow and help for today. It's all in the name of Jesus. Pastor Brian usually has action points under his sermon. And so I'm going to give you your action points today. What are they? What does this message mean? What do I do with it? Pastor, what do I do with this message? Here they are. Number one, if you have not done so, turn your life over to Jesus. That's the best thing you can do today. Turn your life over to Jesus. Number two is to trust Jesus with whatever is going on in your life. You all know, as I've already shared, about my wife's illness, and she believes with all her heart that God has given her a promise, and that promise is that she's not going to die one day before the Lord allows it. Praise God. Trust in Jesus. Number three, recognize Jesus as the second person of the triune God. Today, my friends, it is all in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for the glory and the power of the name of Jesus. And for whatever those who are listening to my voice are struggling with today, may you give them the strength through the name of Jesus to be an overcomer, to conquer, Lord, sin, to conquer trials, and to come through victoriously in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that wonderful name, a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and we confess you, Jesus, as our Lord today. Bless, Lord, this message. May it get into our hearts today as we have shared your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.